Our Lord, our God, we come before you in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless the speaking and the hearing of the word today in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're looking at the third of the six good kings that we'd like to look at, Joash, in chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles. There are eight good kings. It was in the southern kingdom of Judah, if you recall. By way of review, there was the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah after they had split. Instead of being one united kingdom, which it was the case under Saul and David and Solomon, then there was the ones following Solomon, such as Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam had the southern kingdom. Jeroboam had the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom was made up of all bad kings, 19. There was 8 out of 19 good kings in Judah. So let's look at these good kings still and see what we can learn as lessons from the things that went wrong in their life and their reign, even though they were called kings that did right in the sight of the Lord. Joash is the one we'd like to look at today. We've already seen Asa and Jehoshaphat. Joash had commitment problems. We realized, and you remember, Jehoshaphat had compromising problems, and Asa had finishing problems. But this one today, Joash, in chapter 24, 2 Chronicles, we find commitment problems. Look with me, as we'd like to read a few selected verses, verse 2. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But when we go through the story, we'll realize that that is very important, that it says that he did right in the days of Jehoiada the priest. After that priest died, things went downhill for Joash. So we see here commitment problems. We see commitment that was only skin deep with Joash. Verse 4, we see a good thing. It came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Now this is a good thing. We realize that to be one that would be a restorer, a repairer, rebuilder is something we need in our lives even today as Christians. I'd like to remind you in Isaiah 58 that we see here some good passages that speak of this. Verse 11 says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Oh, would to God that we would be restorers and repairers in the house of God. And I'm not speaking of the building that you gather in, but among the body of Christ, among the church of God, that is, the people that are born again. May we be restorers and repairers and do the work, whatever it is the Lord has called us to do within the body of Christ. We need this, to be restorers and rebuilders among God's people. But we see, going back to 2 Chronicles 24, that Joash had commitment problems. Yes, we see rebuilding and repair, but then we see departure. Notice in verse 15, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died." And we see this was that priest that was there during the reign of Joash. He died at an old age. What happened? Verse 18, "And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear." We could go on through here and see how that God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he came as a prophet and spoke to Joash, tried to bring him back into that which was right, but he would not hear him. We see that the king conspired against the son of that priest that he thought so much of, and he had him stoned. A conspiracy. We see great departure from this good king Joash. his commitment was only skin deep. Once this priest was off the scene, he wasn't committed. My friend, are you serving the Lord on a skin deep, just on the surface? Is it perhaps that because you want to do right for your children, or perhaps you want to just make your parents happy, you've got godly parents, and you're just kind of showing up at the meetings for your parents' sake? Are you just kind of showing up for your favorite preacher or something? My friend, we don't need in the sight of God to be just skin deep when it comes to commitment. He wants legitimate hearts for God. We have a man here, Joash, when certain priest was off the scene, his commitment was gone. We see he conspired even against this priest's son. And what happened? The result? A second conspiracy. Joash himself was conspired against and killed. We reap what we sow, don't we? So the challenge with this King Joash is to be committed, not to have commitment problems. What a story with Joash. You know, this turns us now to the next chapter, chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles, and here we would like to look at Amaziah. He had heart problems. When we speak of heart problems, we're not speaking of a physical heart problem, but a spiritual heart problem. So when we see Amaziah, notice with me at verse 3. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it were written in the law in the book of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. So we see here that Amaziah did not take unnecessary revenge or retribution against the family of these servants that had killed his father. It's ironic that he became king because of this conspiracy, but yet he did which was right in the sight of the Lord. We see capital punishment to those that were guilty of this murder. But yet he applied Deuteronomy 24:16 and did not take it to their children. He did not try to cut off their house or their seed and blame the children for what these servants had done. So we see a good start. And then in verse 6-9, we see that he had come up and hired some mercenaries, that is, hired warriors out of Israel, their counterpart of Judah. He'd hired 100,000 mighty men of valor. He'd given them 100 talents of silver. But then God sent a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And then Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. So we see that, again, we see obedience with Amaziah. We see that he has a good start still. We see how he listens to the man of God. But then, in verse 14-16, we see how, as we read, now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. We see he received false gods. We see the declining state of Amaziah. We see heart problems. And I believe we can connect it with verse 2. This is the reason it says, And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. We see spiritual heart problems. We see that Amaziah, one who had done some good things early on, yet we see heart problems. He wasn't doing it with a perfect heart. We think of Job as one that was said to be perfect in the sight of God, not meaning sinless, but he was a mature man of God. Spiritually mature, but this man Amaziah, we see that he did not have a perfect heart before the Lord. God looks upon the heart. He looks at, through our cover-up. He looks through what we might do on the outward. He knows our heart. He knows our motives. He knows just where we are and our intentions. We that are born again will go before the Bema seat of Christ, not with any determination of our destiny, because if you're already saved, then you're the only ones going to the Bema seat of Christ. That is to judge your motives and what you've done after you were saved. So 1 Corinthians tells us that your works will be judged of what sort it is. Now those that are not saved, they will be judged at the great white throne of judgment and will be cast into the lake of fire for having not received the free, loving gift of Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But once you go to those two judgments, it's a point of no return. You won't go to the Bema Seat of Christ unless you're born again. And you won't go to the great white throne unless you are lost and are on your way to a lost eternity. After the point of death, or the coming of the Lord, whichever comes in our life, these judgments are fixed. You'll be at one or the other. But Amaziah had heart problems. The Lord looks upon the heart. We see the devastating result in verse 20. He ignored a prophet who tried to turn him the right way, real similar to what Joash's father did. And we see a conspiracy, just like against his father. And he died. Again, we reap what we sow, don't we? What we have seen today in Joash and Amaziah would make us think very strong and very hard, perhaps, upon those words in Galatians, as I just referred to a moment ago. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As if we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. So we see here, we will reap what we sow in our life. But here with Joash, here with Amaziah, commitment problems and heart problems. And we see that they end up being conspired against themselves as they had done this very thing and ignored the words of a prophet from God. This is Mike Moody along with Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles. We're looking at the good kings of Judah and the things that went wrong in their lives as an example for us to be considering, so that we might not make the same mistakes. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time today. We pray again in Christ's name. Amen. Join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock for the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.